Well, it's good to have everybody here this morning as we continue with talking about the future of our church. Now, if you remember back just about 2 weeks ago, we spent time sort of talking about the changing environment and the changing culture and what's happening, sort of setting the stage for where the future of the church needs to go. And then last weekend, I talked about sort of my heart a little bit, actually quite a bit. I shared my heart on sort of what God has been doing to me over the last 7 years or so, 5 to 7 years on my frustration with the church in general, right? Not our saviors, but the church in general, and frustrations about ministry and things like that, that God has led me down this path to where we talked last week about the core values of the church. And so today we're going to talk and spend time talking about our core practices that we're going to be about as we go forward. And it's sort of fitting that we conclude today with sort of the vision for the future, because does anybody know what today is? The last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday is the beginning of the church year, the beginning of Advent, which is the beginning of the church year. Everybody goes, wow, Advent is here already? Believe me, I think the same thing as well, right? It's amazing that next weekend is the first Sunday in Advent, and it is the first Sunday of the church year. So it's real fitting that we finish this sort of idea of what the future of the church is going to be as we talk about this, so that we can go into the new year with this new perspective and new idea. Now remember, here's the key thing. What we decided is we needed to be the church that God wants us to be. And we're talking about how do we become the church that God has sort of laid out in Scripture, that He's calling us to be as the church. And as we talked about this, we said the key thing we need to do is follow the commands that He has given to the church. That really God has actually laid out all of these commands to the church. These are commands that He gives, not suggestions, but commands. And so what we are striving to do is to actually live these out, that these aren't optional. And we have to make sure that all of these commands are in place before we start filling in other things and other wants that we have. And with that being said, we said that it's imperative that we differentiate between what we want and what God commands. That it's not that our desires are all bad, but they must take a back seat to what God actually is emphasizing and what He wants the church to be. See, it's not about what we want. It's really about what God wants. And that's what we're striving for. And as I said last week, I think some of you have commented to me that you appreciated last week in terms of how I sort of bared my heart and sort of shared with you how I felt. And everything I shared last week is true and honest. But you know what? I'm excited for the future. Because I'm excited for where God sort of has placed on my heart and placed on the vision of where we're going, because I believe this is the future of where the church needs to go. The basis that we used for this, the basis that we're going to use for today as well, is these verses from Acts chapter 2. This is the first century church. And it's titled in most scriptures, The Fellowship of Believers. And I'll read it for you once again, because I don't think we can hear this too much. It says, then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, I don't know about you, but every time I read that, I go, that's what I want. I mean, does anybody else sit here and read that passage and say, that's what I want? I mean, that's really what I desire. And you could tell by what I shared last week that that is really where my heart is. I desire that for our church. And I desire not just the fact that you can say the end is great, right? That He's adding to their number day by day, but the fact that they are living such close lives as a family. That's what I desire, is that we as a church here live as one family together, united on a purpose that God has given us, impacting this community in ways that we could only imagine. Now, last week we said what helps lead us in that is our core values. And our core values we talked about last week is one, we're devoted worshipers. That we know that it's important that we worship Jesus for who he is. It's not about fancy worship. It's not about having a great message on Sunday morning, although I hope that's good too, okay? But it's about truly worshiping Jesus for who he is, that we don't need anything else other than Jesus. And we're devoted to worshiping Jesus. That we are living as loving families that love each other and care for one another, that go out and sacrifice for one another and are living life together. That we are living as equipped disciple makers, that we are actually living as people who disciple one another and are equipped to go out and share the gospel with one another and equip other people to be disciple makers. That we live spirit-filled missionary lives. That we are all seen as ones who are in a mission field each and every day. And as I was reminded this week, we are in a big mission field right here at Our Savior's in Palm Springs. Each one of us should be looking at each of us as missionaries. And then finally, the one that all of us love, suffering sojourners, that we are willing to sacrifice and suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that is one of his commands to his disciples, that you will suffer for his sake. Now everybody hears that and goes, oh no. Okay? But really, there's nothing else I'd rather suffer for than Jesus and his church. Now as we hear all of this, the key thing I want you to make sure you understand as we go forward is that as we talk about core practices, and as we're talking about all of this, the basis is truly still the fact that we are saved by grace through faith. That it's not about what we do. We can't earn salvation. It is something that is freely given to us. But as that is our basis, there is a response then that we give back to Jesus. A response because of the love we've received, because of everything that he's done for us, we can't help but then respond to him with gratitude and thanksgiving. And also that flows out of our actions as well. Not to earn salvation, but because it's already been given to us. And so as we talk about our core practices, these are the things that we will be about here at Our Savior's. And I realize as we go through this a little bit today, some of it might be hard for you to see on the screen. I apologize for that, but I will give it to you verbally and you can hear it and we'll talk about it more. Our six core practices are these. We're going to be devoted to Scripture. That's the key basis. We're going to have everyone disciples and is discipled. That everyone disciples someone and you are being discipled as well. That we meet in homes. That everyone exercises their gifts. That we have simple gatherings. And we have regular multiplication of our home groups and hopefully churches as well. Those are our six core practices that we are going to be about here at Our Savior's. Now, when I say core practices, this is what we are going to do above everything else. Meaning that this is the first stage of everything that we do. Then we can add in some of the things we may want. But these are the things that God calls us to. So let's take a look at each of these individually. The first thing is devotion to Scripture. This has to be the first core practices that we have, that we are devoted to Scripture. More than anything, we want people to be lovers of the person of Jesus. And the way you become a lover of the person of Jesus is by sharing time in his word and digging into what he says. A church cannot be successful or healthy if people are not personally meeting with and enjoying God consistently in the word. Daily. That's the goal. The greatest commandment is to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So this must be our greatest priority. That we have to be devoted to Scripture. And that we have a structure of things built with a culture that spends time with God every single day for yourself individually. And what I want us to do is have a joint reading plan together. That daily we are all reading the same scriptures together as a body of Christ right here. that we are joining together and reading this so that we can actually, when we gather together, discuss the passages that we're hearing and we're listening to and that we're reading in our scripture reading plan every day. That we're actually gathering in our home groups, and all of us have read the same scriptures each day. So when we gather in our home groups, we can actually discuss what we've all read and what God has spoken to us through his word and what we actually have learned through his word, and we can share that with one another. See, we want this to be something that is more, that we love the scripture so much, that it actually is something that is more important to us than the sermon. That we aren't lovers of ministry or lovers of good books or lovers of community more than we are lovers of God's word. That many of us look at Sunday morning where we get fed by the preaching that happens here and the music we may sing. But I want to shift that so that you are being fed every day of the week by the scripture you're reading and that we're reading together. So it's not just a Sunday thing, but it's an everyday thing that we are being fed by God's word. That we read this through and we consume it together. That we have this sort of expectation truly that all of us are in the word daily, listening to what God has to say, and then praying around what he's speaking to us. That we are devoted to reading the Bible daily. That everyone in church is reading it together. Now, to this end, what I'd love us to do is all of us to focus on this whole idea of reading scripture through the Read Scripture app that's on your phone. And what I encourage you to do is pull out your phone right now. Well, if you don't have one, you can do it another time. But pull out your phone and go to your apps, where you actually go to your app store. And for free, you can download the app that says Read Scripture. I encourage you to do so, because this is the plan that we will use beginning January 1st. We will read this together. And the great thing about the Read Scripture app is daily it walks you through the text that you need to read, but it also has videos to help explain what's happening in the books. It's a great app for us to use. So please pull out your phones, search for Read Scripture app. You can see it looks like the little icon on the right-hand side, and it is a great app that walks you through daily what we will be reading. Now, if you don't have a phone that is able to do this, there is a printout that you will have as well. I'll get those out to you over the next few weeks so that January 1, you can do it manually if you want. But I'll tell you, the best way to do it is through the app because it walks you through it daily. And I encourage you, please join us in this journey. What will happen is during next year, 2020, we will read through the entire Bible together so that all of us are on the same page and understand what God's word says. So download that app. You can do it right now. Some of you I see are doing it. That's great. If you can't, I'll give you a reading plan that over the next few weeks that you will have that will detail what that reading is. And I encourage all of us to do this together. Next, is everyone disciples and is discipled? Now, discipleship is taking responsibility for the spiritual care of someone else. That's what discipleship is. It doesn't mean that you're the only one investing in that person, but it does mean that you should be aware of what's going on in their lives. There's no way to actually disciple someone if you don't know what's happening in their life. See, discipleship is life on life. And if you're discipling someone, you have to be around them a lot, inviting them into your life, joining them in their life. And discipleship doesn't happen with one-to-one coffee dates once a week. You need to be around each other and observe each other's lives more than once a week in a coffee shop. See, our temptation has been in the church to replace discipleship with various programs that we put in place. If a married couple is struggling, what we want and try to do is we suggest that they read a book that maybe can help them. Or maybe that they enroll in a marriage class that we have in the church. Or maybe that they go off to some retreat that is really going to help them. But what they need most is an older couple who loves Jesus to come alongside them and do life with them and help them through life's challenges. I mean, these programs could be helpful, don't get me wrong. But we often hide behind them and ignore the responsibility that we have to make disciples and walk with people in their lives. We intentionally restrain ourselves here at Our Saviors from just starting programs and classes that could make people feel that they're being discipled, but in reality, they're not. It's not that these programs are bad, but they might undermine the importance of what it means to walk with people in their lives together. See, in our church, sometimes we think the pastor is the one who's responsible for discipling everyone, right? But rather, what we want to do is have the pastor, just like each one of us, disciple one or two people, to come alongside them and help them in their walk with the Lord, and help them learn and engage in what's going on each and every day. Discipleship is something that we are having done to us, but it's also that we actually walk with someone else and disciple them. It's a very rewarding experience. And as we are discipled, we learn how to disciple others. The next thing we are going to do is we're going to have everyone exercise their gifts. Lara talked about this a little bit just earlier, that each one of us, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians, and he says that there are many different gifts that the Spirit gives to the believers for the sake of what? The body of Christ and the church. Then he explains how every part of the body is needed, and that we must be careful not to start to develop the mindset that some gifts are more necessary than others. Every gift is important to the body of Christ. No matter what your gift is, it's important to this body, and therefore we must all be using our gifts, that everyone exercising them any way that we can. But is that how we truly function as a church? Does every single believer in church realize that they are just needed and that they have an important gift for the future of the church? Or do we tend to think that the pastor is the one that is gifted, or the worship leaders are the ones that are gifted, and therefore they need to lead everything and always be the ones up front? See, we need to intentionally structure and create space so that everyone in the body is gathering together and actually contributing every day, any way that they can. This means that you have a voice that needs to be heard, that when you are together studying the Word of God, that you contribute by saying what you think God is speaking to you, and that you actually take part in prayer together, that you actually are using your gifts any way that they can be used, that everyone needs to be contributing with the gifts that God has given them, and that we use that any way that we can, that there is no one just sitting in the pew thinking they don't have a role in the church. Because everyone has a gift that God has given them. See, in conversations with people throughout the church as well, each one of us needs to be affirming with each other what the gift is that we see in them. That each one of us needs to be sharing with them and encouraging people to use their gift any way that they can, so that all of us, as the body of Christ, are sharing the gifts that God has given us for the betterment of this community and the betterment of this church. We need to be thinking that if I'm not using my gift, then this body is not functioning properly. It's like me functioning without an arm. It just doesn't work as well. Next, we're going to have simple gatherings. And this seems sort of interesting to have this as a core practice, but it's important we do so. That for us, we want to devote ourselves to thinking deeply about the inspired Word of God, and that's how we devote ourselves to the Apostles' teaching. That we don't want to draw people on that we don't want to draw people to how we explain Scripture, meaning we want everyone to start sort of saying what is God saying and how do we explain Scripture. We don't always need just a pastor up front being the one that's talking, that there's other people that could speak as well. We want to double down on a belief that if we have the Spirit and God is in you, guess what? You are able to read Scripture for yourself. You can wrestle with it, and the Spirit will lead you. We really want to get the body involved in being able to bring something to church gatherings, that it's not these huge functions that are perfect, that when we gather together, we expect things are going to be simple. For instance, if you've been to our potluck and Bible study, that's a simple gathering, where all we do is all of us come together, all of us share and contribute to the meal, all of us gather around God's word and share what God is saying, and then we talk about it at the end and make sure we're headed in the right path. But there's no fancy tablecloths. There's no china on the table. It's a simple gathering that each one of us feel like, you know what, I can do that. Our home gatherings are the same way. Paper plates and plastic is fine. It's not about this huge hospitality that shows people that it's this huge event that takes lots of planning and effort. In fact, home groups are meant to be people seeing how you live. And if you come to our house, you're going to see that we have two kids, and therefore our house isn't perfect. Right, Danny and Maya? It's not perfect. And guess what? That's okay. Because that's how most of us live, right? Is your house perfect? But when you invite people over, what do we tend to do? Make it perfect, right? So we keep sending the message to everybody, your house has to be perfect to have people over. That is so wrong. Let's just be who we are and let people know you can come and this is how we live and it's okay. It's a simple gathering because you know what? It's not about me impressing you. It's about God and His Word. And what are we studying together? So all gatherings are simple so that we send the message that everyone and anyone can do these. That it doesn't take a special home. It doesn't take a large home. It doesn't take fancy stuff. That anyone can gather people in their home around prayer and God's word. And everyone can do it. So many times we complicate things. And we make it seem like it has to be this big event. And believe me, I know you're going to clean the house a little bit. Okay? That's okay. But let's keep it simple. Okay? Let's send the message that it's okay to be messy. You know why it's okay to be messy? Because life is messy. People are messy. And that's okay. You guys like that one? Yeah, good. I do too, by the way. So we meet in homes. Next, regular multiplication of home groups as well. Now, what we want to do is truly get to a place of multiplication. God actually is a God of multiplication. Okay, He doesn't just look at addition, He wants multiplication. And so the true fruit of a strong leader is not followers, but strong leaders. We want more leaders at our Savior's. The true fruit of a healthy church is not congregants, but truly more healthy churches that sort of are birthed from the church that you have. God has designed the world to be one that reproduces and multiplies. If you look at all over God's creation, that's what you see. And so we are going to be about multiplication. We want to try to lead well to multiply people so that they can lead here at our Savior's, so that more and more people can lead, so that in our home groups, the home groups are not created to stay together. The home groups are meant so that as you get up to around 20 people in your home groups, you split off and start another home group so that you can reach more people. We're not creating cliques. We're creating multiplication of home groups so that more people can hear God's word. So as we start these home groups this year, and we've got about 7 people who have said they're going to start these, which is great. We're going to start those. Yeah, praise God. And if you want to start one, it's not too late. We're going to be training over the next month so that they start at the first of the year. And the whole idea of home groups is you gather together around word and prayer and fellowship as well. And as you do that, hopefully you invite in neighbors and friends. And as you do so, if you get to around 15 or 20, you start saying, okay, how are we going to break this off into another home group? And someone becomes a trainer to lead that out so that then it can break off and start an additional home group. Then you can invite more people in to connect with God's word, and you start growing the church in that way. And so home groups are important for us because it is the way we're going to reach our neighbors. It's the way we're going to reach our friends. It's the way we're going to expand the reach of God's word in this community. And the key thing is we don't want them to be cliques that stay together. They're meant to be ones that break apart and go. It's important to do that. And part of what's happening here as well is we are actually going to be starting a home church down at Cheryl and our house down in Indio. That's going to be a multiplication of a church. We're going to start a home church down there that's going to take place late on Sunday afternoons to try to reach neighbors and friends in that community down there that will not come up to our Saviors. And we are going to plant a church down there and see what happens. So Sunday afternoons, Cheryl and I will leave here, and we will be holding a church service in our home, reaching our neighbors. We already have one neighbor who's committed to come, and I'm sure we're going to have others over the next month that will join us. On January 5th, we will start that home church to try to multiply our Saviors out into the community and into this valley. And the key thing about all of this is that we want to reach more people. Not because we want to build a large church. Because what we'll do is just keep multiplying churches. But the goal is that we reach more people for the kingdom of God. That as we talked about last week, that we truly are concerned about people and don't want people to die without knowing Jesus. And so with this whole process of our core things that we're working on is these underlying assumptions that I want all of us to understand. The first is that everyone contributes. Everyone. Everyone contributes, meaning when we gather together like we do on Wednesday nights, everyone gathers around the table and everyone shares. Shares what God is saying to them, how they're reading the scripture, what God is speaking during their weeks of devotion. That everyone contributes by joining together in the reading plan and working together. And everyone contributes in terms of offerings and using the gifts that God has given them. That all of us are contributing, but also that everyone participates as well. That there is no one that is out and left alone. And so here is my big ask for you at the end of this whole message, of these 3 weeks that we've talked about. My ask of you is this. That you invest 3 or 4 hours a week into your discipleship here at Our Saviors. My big ask is this, that you attend church every week, not once every 4 to 6 weeks is the trend within our culture. That you attend Our Saviors every week. That you connect to a home group when they get started in the next month. That is part of your investment as a disciple here, that you connect to a home group so that you can grow, and that you attend a Bible study like on Wednesday night or some other growth activity here at Our Saviors. That's what I'm asking you to do, 3 to 4 hours a week here at Our Saviors. Now, how many think they can actually do that? I know that there's lots of time you spend elsewhere. And I want us to be in the community as well. But what we're asking is that you just invest 3 to 4 hours here, using your gifts here at Our Saviors, so that you can continue to grow as a disciple. The other thing that I ask you to do is spend time with God daily. Daily with God. That you follow the reading plan that we're going to set up as we read together the Bible in 1 year, and that you spend time in prayer with God, praying for yourself, praying for our saviors and praying for those in need around you and your neighbors as well. That's the ask, and I don't think that's too great. The ask is that we invest time here. And the way that we'll measure on how this is working is we're actually going to be looking at these expressions. Are people devoted to worshiping Jesus? Are we seeing that among the people that are here? Are we truly devoted to worshiping Jesus? Do we see that in people's lives? Can their love for each other be categorized as something that's supernatural unity? That as we share our lives together, are we loving each other to a way that people look at us and go, I want to be a part of that because of the way they're loving one another? We then look at it and say, are the people here at Our Savior's growing in maturity and personally making disciples? Are we actually investing in ourselves so that we can grow as disciples? And are we actually making disciples out there in the world? And do the people here at Our Savior's regularly and joyfully share the gospel and grieve for the unreached? Do you have a grief for those who don't know Jesus? And do you wish to reach them at all costs? And finally, do you suffer for Jesus? And do you long for his return? Because after all, that's what our goal is. Our goal is not today. Our goal is that time when Jesus returns or he calls us home and we will be living with him for all eternity. Because I don't know about you, but with all the strife and struggle and hurt in this world, this is not what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to that future when all perfect joy, peace, and happiness will be ours. When we will live in eternity with joy, peace, and happiness, no pain, no suffering, no struggle. It's beyond anything I can imagine, and I hope that's something you look forward to as well. But until we get there, God has given us a job to do. He has given us a specific purpose, to be his people in this world that are willing to do the things that we've just laid out, that are willing to invest in his kingdom building, not ours, so that we can actually grow his kingdom and have more and more people come to know who Jesus is. See, we want to bring together people in such a way that they become disciples who love Jesus, love each other, and love the world powerfully and sacrificially. See, this is truly what I believe it means to live the love of Jesus. And that's what we are called to do. So I invite you and I ask you to join us in this here at Our Savior's as we make an impact in this community. Because I believe this community needs to be reached right now more than almost any community in the United States. And I believe we can make a huge difference. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you bow your heads? Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we thank you for this vision that you have given as well. And Lord, I just pray that you work in our hearts and minds, Lord, that we truly understand what you are calling us to, that, Lord, you empower us to step boldly into this, and that, Lord, you would lead us each day to be in your word, to hear what it says, and for us to take action. We only do this because we know of the great gift you have given us, that, Lord, we have forgiveness and we have eternal life, that, Lord, there's no way we can earn that because you've already given it to us. And so, Lord, as a response, we give our lives to you. We turn them over to you today, saying, Lord, use me in your kingdom any way that you see fit. And help us, Lord, to make a difference today, tomorrow, and always. So, Lord, we pray this all in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.